Chapter 1. Stevie.
What in the hell is that? I looked up at the mammoth vehicle with oversized tires. Reese grabbed the end of his shirt and wiped a smudge from the chrome wheel.
This, sweetness, is a third-generation Pontiac Trans Am, modified to meet my all-terrain needs.
I laughed. Couldn't you just buy a truck? He shot me an incredulous look.
No, sweet cheeks. I like the attention. It's not every day you see a monster Trans Am. A guy doesn't have to say a word to get the respect he deserves when he rolls up in this. Plus, the chicks dig it. And you'd hardly look as delectable spread naked on the hood of an F-150.
His Spanish accent made his streetwise words sound sophisticated. You know that's never going to happen. Not only am I never going to sleep with you, I walked closer, eyeing the car and considered its height compared to mine. I might break a leg getting into it. He looped his arm around my waist, pulled me closer, and guided me to the passenger side of the black relic emblazoned with a gold firebird on the hood. He opened the door and then placed his hands on my hips from behind. What are you doing? I all but squealed.
Well, Lyndon, if you're going to ride with me to the site to kick some beastly ass, you're going to have to get in Stevie. Just trying to help.
Stevie?
Yeah. I named her after Stevie Nicks. I hit every concert, and damn, she still got it. Too bad she isn't immortal. If I had Cyril's abilities and could combine three souls to make a new person, I'd make a Stevie Nicks, Olivia Newton-John, Joan Jett combo.
He grabbed my ass and squeezed, boosting me.
But that's only if you rejected me, sweet cheeks.
I peered over my shoulder at him. What is it with you in the 80s? Hell, you're pretty much immortal. You could pick any time period in history. What is it about leg warmers, banana clips, and fingerless gloves that makes you love it so much? He brushed his lips along my ear.
Careful. This conversation is making me hard. If you say drive-in theater, I might embarrass myself. Better hurry and get in the car, or those slow-as-shit sludge fiends might start terrorizing the geese down by the river again.
He winked and nudged his chin upward.
Grab the sissy handle.
The what?
You know, that little bar above your head for you to hold on to.
I gripped the handle and slid my bottom across the black leather seat. He gave a slight squeeze before he slid his hands out from under my bottom. Hey!
Sorry, sweet stuff. I know how you hate it when I'm a tease.
He grabbed my hand and kissed the back of it.
But I promise, once we're done clearing the beasties, you can have as much of me as you want.
I rolled my eyes. Keep dreaming. He smiled, closed the door, and walked around the front of the car, running his hand along the curves of the hood. I sat in silence, willing my body to settle. When he was around, there was no happy medium, when any of them were around for that matter. Cyril created one fine mess in his desperation to bind me to him. He bound us all, and even though I tried to maintain my loyalty to him, my body betrayed me any time they were near. And Reese? It seemed like the more time I spent with him, the stronger my attraction. We were reaching critical levels. Cyril had to know. He had to understand the implications. Under normal circumstances, he couldn't read my mind, but when we made love, the connection gave him access to my deepest secrets. As much as I pretended I wasn't as vulnerable to the bond as they were, the truth was I slipped closer to disaster every day. Cyril, my lover, was a literal sex god, specifically designed to match the performance of the best human lovers, but enhanced to meet the needs of a goddess. With him, sex was a necessity. Between his needs and the bond, the sexual energy swirling around me at any time tipped the scale. It was amazing I maintained as much control as I did. Reese had a unique way of caging his desire. He was wrapped in a blanket of innuendo and irritation. I worried just how much damage we might cause should the dam ever break. He threw open the door, jumped from the ground onto the sideboard, and slid into the car before closing the door. Impressive. I shot him a wide smile of appreciation.
I was created by a sex god.
He leaned toward me and inhaled. On the exhale, his breath blew against the skin of my neck, causing strands of my copper-colored hair to dance in the beam of the dome light.
Oh, Lyndon, you are such sweet fucking torture. I can smell your need for me.
He reached across, pulled my seatbelt in place, and latched it. Stupid fucking supernatural senses.
Just so you know, leaping into the car isn't my only talent. It's amazing how many impressive things I can do with my body. I'd love to show you.
Compared to human men, he wasn't kidding. The power he received from Cyril when he created his family gave him many advantages. Well, your maker is my... I stumbled for words. Lover wasn't adequate.
He's your what, sweet cakes? Your boyfriend?
He chuckled. Great question. I had recently been consumed by how abandoning my human life had so drastically changed my reality. There would be no big white house with a picket fence, no husband, no children. He must have noticed my contemplative stare.
Luca, I'm sorry, that wasn't fair. I didn't mean to be insensitive.
He turned the key and the engine roared to life. He revved the motor a few times while I tried to think of a way to explain what Cyril was to me.
Lyndon.
He grabbed my hand.
He loves you more than any human can love another human. It doesn't matter what his title is. He belongs to you and you to him.
No, you make a good point. Cyril will never be a boyfriend. He'll never be a husband. To think of him like that is absurd. A strained chuckle escaped my lips. Those things are choices. And with Cyril, there really aren't any. I played with the hem of my shirt, rolling it between my fingers as I stared at the Pittsburgh skyline, wondering if I'd ever make sense of my fucked up life. Truth is, none of those things are in the cards for me now.
He's changed so much since he found you. You never know what he's capable of.
I scoffed. I can't imagine Cyril ever agreeing to something as human as marriage or a date. So, I guess I need to let it go. My acceptance of my more than human status is more likely to happen.
Oh, I don't know. I think he'd do anything for you.
It wasn't that he wouldn't do anything I requested. It was more about the practicality of it. I took a deep breath. The last thing I needed was to go into battle feeling melancholy. I had to focus on something else. He reached for the stereo and turned the knob, directing my attention to a... No, it couldn't be. Wait, is that an 8-track player?
Oh, sweet thighs. Stevie has it all. 8-track, cassette changer, CD changer, DVD, and MP3. But I'm a sucker for the original.
He pushed on the cartridge and the glorious first notes of the Steve Miller Band's Abracadabra filled the car. He stomped on the gas. The car lurched forward with a loud screech from rubber meeting road. I clutched the handle above my head, trying to steady myself. Was that necessary?
Yes. Yes, it was.
He smiled. At the first stoplight, he adjusted the mirror and gazed at his image, running his hand through his dark hair. He had his Spanish heritage to thank for the wavy, cocoa-hued locks, his olive skin, and straight nose. I snorted as he continued to primp while knowing I watched him. The light's green, Casanova. You can stop admiring your pretty self. Besides, we're going to battle. You don't need to look good to stab something.
Ah, but this is your first battle. What if you are overcome with battle rage and have no choice but to fuck me until you come down from the high? You know, like Cyril. Battle and sex for him are one and the same. Remember last week when he fucked you in the hallway with all of us standing there after he came back from cleaning the east side? What if you picked up that trait from him too, and need me? I'm willing to take one for the team, and owe it to you to look my best when you're grinding one out on me.
I laughed. Your imagination is almost as big as your ego. He leaned over and whispered.
But nowhere near as big as my...
Beep!
The car behind us honked a pathetic-sounding noise.
We're going,
he mumbled.
It takes some balls to rush a monster Trans Am. The granny in the Camry must have been packing a pair.
He peeled out, leaving the impatient woman in his dust. It bothered me when Cyril tortured them, seeming to have no concern for how our indiscretions might affect his family. But after battle, his only thought was to possess me where I stood. It had to be excruciating for them. Is it hard for you when he... You know. Reese glanced in my direction.
What? When he fucks you in front of us?
I gave a weak nod. He paused, seeming to mull over my question.
Yes. And no.
What does that mean? You know, I wish he wouldn't do that. It's not fair. I used to get so embarrassed, but it's happened so often recently with all of the sightings.
Well, wait a second. We're supposed to be talking about fighting stances, not sex.
I chuckled. Can't be serious. You've done nothing but talk about sex since I got in the car. Now, answer the question. I really wasn't sure how I'd feel about his response, but Reese had always been 100% honest with me. I trusted him to tell me the truth and not what he thought I needed to hear. On an exhale, he answered.
Yes. It bothers me that I'm not the one inside you.
His words caused a shiver of desire I fought to keep imperceptible. He continued.
Feeling you. Giving you pleasure. I want nothing more than to be the person to make you come undone. Even though we can't father children, that human part of me still exists that wants to claim you myself.
He leaned to the side and breathed.
To leave part of me behind. It's overwhelming sometimes.
I shifted in my seat and pulled down on my shirt. His words struck a chord with me. I had recently felt anxiousness, something unfulfilled when I was around him, and wondered if a hearty romp might be what we both needed. But there was Cyril. He pulled me from my reverie with his words.
Then there's the connection we have to Cyril. Part of us cheers for him and his conquest of you. A bigger part wants him to share you, to join you both. We don't want to replace him. So watching him fuck is exciting. Better than porn. Watching him fuck you is about as close to fucking you as we can get.
He inhaled.
Now, the way you smell.
Oh, shit. I was aroused by the conversation. I couldn't help it, but I never wanted to cause him any more pain.
The way you moan. Your body writhes. It fills my dreams. After seeing him take you, I lock myself in my room and pound a few out. I really have no choice. But it's horribly unsatisfying.
He glanced in my direction, seeming to gauge my reaction to his crass words, but I said nothing.
Does it bother you that I fist my cock and stroke it while I think of you? With a retro episode of The Price is Right on the VHS blaring, so you don't hear me cry out your name when I shoot cum all over my chest.
A typical Reese tactic, attempt to shock me out of the conversation. I refused to give in and replied with a simple, "No, it doesn't bother me."
Good, because I do it every night. So much so that just the sound of Bob Barker's voice makes me hard.
He cleared his throat.
Before the bond, when I still desired other women, it wasn't unusual for us to trade partners. Cyril would take a woman first and bite her. He'd get his nourishment and she'd get the orgasm of a lifetime.
A quiver formed in my stomach at the thought of Cyril's bite. It was a drug.
We'd watch or participate. The Victorian era complicated things. It became much harder to stumble into an orgy in the US and Europe. But I have to say, I'm a little disappointed that Cyril held out on us. I didn't know his semen turned women into wanton slut bubbies. That would have made things so much easier. But he saved that all for you. If anything is difficult about our arrangement, it's that. When he fucks you and turns you into a nymphomaniac, we know you want it, need it. Yet we can't indulge you. That night you came down to the kitchen and rubbed against me. I should get sainthood for denying you.
I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to make it more difficult. It's like my body gravitates to you naturally, and when Cyril enhances my libido and disappears, well, I'm sorry. I told him he has to stop it, that I won't be responsible for my actions someday. Rhys laughed.
He's not going to stop. If I had that power, you'd be delirious 24/7. The desire to be inside you is overwhelming. I can't even imagine what it's like for him.
A soft sigh left his lush lips.
But if you're ever going to slip up and slum it, I'm your guy.
He breathed deep through his nose.
Oh, God, you smell so good.
Slum it? Is that what you believe I think of you? You just looked in the mirror. You know how handsome you are. The corner of his mouth pulled up into a devilish grin.
Are you saying you find me attractive, Miss Hill?
Rolling my eyes and shaking my head, I tried to resist the urge to give him the answer I knew he was fishing for, but failed. Oh, God, I probably shouldn't say it because you'll be impossible for the rest of the night. But yes, you are more than just attractive, Rhys. I can't imagine any woman would complain if she found herself in your bed. He cleared his throat.
Does that include you?
I sighed. If I concede, will you stop?
Probably not, but it would be nice to hear it.
My jaw tightened with frustration as I turned and stared out the window, ignoring him. I'd already given him a bone. Inflating his already out-of-control ego was out of the question. He shrugged his shoulders.
Fine. Kill my fantasy. Since Cyril doesn't sleep, I've thought of requesting the position of snuggler. You need someone to keep you warm at night.
If you had to sleep in the same bed with me and not touch me, you'd...
I'd hold out hope that you'd accidentally impale yourself on my erection. It would be rude to ask you to stop, but it's a risk, a chance I'm willing to take.
I shook my head in disbelief. He turned onto a side street, then into a parking lot next to an abandoned brick building, and slammed on the brakes. I braced myself with my outstretched hand on the dash. He shifted the car into park and stared at me.
I might not have magic come, but that doesn't mean I don't have an impact on you.
I giggled. You are so full of yourself.
No, I'm not. You're wet. Really wet. Cyril isn't here. So it has to be me you want. I can smell you. And it's fucking torture.
He gripped his hair and growled.
Let's go kill something.
He turned off the key and fumbled with the door, trying to open it. Another growl. What's wrong? He turned, and his gaze was incredulous.
I need fresh air. I'm 5 seconds away from saying fuck Cyril's permission and shoving my hand down your pants, then sucking my fingers dry in front of you. The punishment might be worth it. Fucking magic.
He slammed his fist against the door, and it popped open. Rhys leaped from his car, then his wide shoulders broadened as he took in a lungful of fresh air. A second later, he rounded the car and opened my door, offering his hand to help me down. I slid down his body like silk, gliding over his chest and pressing against his rock-hard cock. He sucked air through his teeth.
Fuck, Lyndon.
He held still for a few moments, as if even the slightest movement might cause us to combust. His heat, a delicious sensation. I shifted my footing, causing my hips to rub against him. He moaned before placing his hands firmly on my shoulders, repositioning me beside him and deliberately distancing himself from me. Scaling the side of the ridiculous vehicle, he reached up and retrieved our swords from the rear floorboard. I tilted my head, grinning as I folded my arms across my chest. "Did you just moan?" He unsheathed one of the swords.
"Yeah, I guess I did, Sweet Lips."
"Why?" He chuckled while shaking his head.
"You are unbelievable."
Stabbing the sword tip into the ground, he faced me and placed his hand on his hip.
"Why did I moan? Because you stood there, nestling. I mean, you were damn near cuddling with my cock. And I started thinking about you sucking me off and how good it would feel. Dreaming about how for once I wouldn't have put him to bed without dinner. It was sympathy for my cock. That's why I moaned. Can you blame me?"
I dropped my arms to my side. It was frustrating for us both. "I'm so sorry about what the bond has done to all of you. I've tried to break it, to set you free."
"Sweet muffins, I don't want to be free. Having you around is the most alive I've felt, well, ever. But I'm still a man with needs, and it's hard sometimes."
Before my chuckle could escape, he shot me a look that told me it was best not to continue.
"I don't want you to feel guilty. You didn't make the bond, Cyril did. Just answer me this."
He stepped closer and looked down into my eyes.
"If Cyril gave you permission to indulge me, would you? Would you see to my ache? Would you make love to me if you could?"
It was unfair to use this moment to force my declaration. I hesitated.
"I've been honest with you. Please return the favor. I can handle the truth. And notice, I didn't ask if you'd fuck me. In my fantasies of you, it isn't just your pussy I'm thinking about."
He lowered his voice to a whisper.
"I think about all of you. Your touch, your smile, your lips. As much as I want to be inside you, I want to kiss you more. If you were allowed, would you give me that? I know we're friends, and that doesn't change, no matter your answer."
I stared at the ground, fiddling with my fingers. "Why do you want to know?" I glanced up, and tears threatened my eyes. I hated what the bond did to us.
"Because there will come a day when I will lose control. A time when I can no longer brush it aside, and I will either beg you or I'll take you. When that happens, I want to know if Cyril sends me to eternal damnation for forcing your hand. Am I going to die knowing none of it was reciprocated? That it was all for nothing?"
Tears flowed down my cheeks. It would be a death sentence to agree.
"I suppose you're right. But greater men have died for lesser reasons."
"So I won't indulge you. I care about you too much." His expression darkened as he nodded in acceptance.
"Then I'll welcome death. Because if I get to that point, knowing you didn't want me, I'll deserve his verdict and more."
Certainly, my words stung, but they were what he needed to hear. I wiped my tears on my sleeve. "Just don't." He placed his fingers on my lips to halt my words, then moved his hand to my shoulder, moving me aside. Before letting go, he placed a soft kiss on my forehead.
Thank you for being honest. Come on, we've got shit to kill.